Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And it's Monday morning. It's just gone 6 minutes after nine. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. In studio, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Anton Myburgh. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to be chatting about vaping and chuffing. Now, to me, chuffing is what my 1985 Alpha used to do up a hill. So I'm looking forward to hearing about this. Let us have your questions for our guest on our studio WhatsApp number 061-895. What?
061-895-1019.
There we go. It's Monday.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful and nippy Monday morning. In guest, Dr. Anton Myburgh, physician specialist, pulmonologist, and as an asthmatic doc, something that I think very, very important. Thank you for coming into studio. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And I must say, you look very different to Howard. It's very refreshing to see someone who's actually got nice glasses for a change.
Well, thank you. I could drop a brand sponsor thing here with these shows.
I just hope Howard's not listening.
Yeah, no, exactly. But these are a brand made in Monaco, but by a South African farm boy who did good and ended up in Europe and did really well, ended up sponsoring a Formula One team. Sure. So really, really cool. Something to be proud of. So, Doc, I wanted to start off just before we went on air. We were chatting briefly. I often get invited to speak at schools about addiction. I've been sober for 19 years, and I get called in. And every time I go in the last several years, the question is, Nick, please, will you speak to the students about vaping? Yeah. And my standard response is, sure, when you speak to the parents about vaping, because what I see with parents at, you know, don't want to mention any schools in particular, but I know the parents, they'll be sitting in a restaurant like Tasha's in Melrose Arch as an example, and the second the waiter walks past or his back's turned, they're down and they're getting their little hit. Correct. On the vape. And in essence, forget about vaping, forget what do they call it, vape juice or that. It's a mechanical device, it's an electronic device for self-administration of the drug nicotine.
That's it.
That's what it is at the end of the day, right? You're basically just doping yourself with nicotine in order to help cope with life.
That's it. You're 100% correct. This is a highly addictive substance. At the end of the day, whether it's got nicotine only or it's got nicotine and all the vape juices, or whether it's got tetrahydrocannabinol, all these other things, I think you hit the nail on the head here. When you see the parents who are doing this and condoning it for their children and saying, no, this is okay, don't worry about it, and then the kids see their parents hiding it in a restaurant and then quickly pulling out their vape and having a drag of their vape, we know that we're in trouble here.
Yeah, and very, very real trouble. What I would like to do with this is let's unpack our lungs, our breathing, the whole breathing respiratory mechanism, how it works, what it's essential for. Because growing up asthmatic, we're really bad asthma. And, you know, what they call it, there's a term for shortness of breath, the inability to breathe.
Yeah.
It is terrifying. And yet people are giving away their capacity to breathe naturally.
So let's unpack that whole asthma story first to explain a bit better.
Cool.
So asthma itself is an inflammatory disease of the airways where you struggle to expire. In other words, you struggle to breathe out because you're breathing out against a constricted or swollen airway. Now, what a lot of people don't know is parents who smoke, so mothers who smoke, already raise the fetal rate of asthma and respiratory diseases in their children by over 75%.
Sure.
Now take a mother who's vaping, who thinks this is innocuous. we haven't got enough studies out yet to show what the damage is that they're going to be doing to their children. And there will be a whole host of things. But now we're dealing with other types of toxins. So first of all, from an addictive point of view, from a dependence point of view, and secondly, from a respiratory point of view, they're doing major damage to their unborn children's lives. Now we take it that you get a general asthmatic patient, someone who's really struggling to breathe, comes winter, they haven't been vaccinated, or they decide, you know, I'm okay, and they start vaping, they get a respiratory illness, their asthma flares up, and then they get other sequelae or consequences of the vaping, which can cause, we know, these things called popcorn lung, and it can cause actually an obstructive airway disease, which is not reversible in the lungs, and cause major different consequences going along. And you'll see on all the influencers and TikTok, you'll see all these young people who are sitting on ventilators in ICU saying, I wish I didn't. But I said, that starts at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it starts with parents at home, with their conduct, reaching out to teachers as well. You know, we remember in the growing up in the 70s and 80s in high school, walking into the staff room, if you had to get something, it was like a cloud of smoke. And we understand the stress. But in essence, it's a coping mechanism.
You say that, sir.
I drank, I'm an alcoholic, I drank to cope. Nicotine is a coping mechanism as well.
Even in the 80s, ICU was just starting around this country, doctors were sitting in ICU smoking while they watched certain infusions of drugs going in just to relax and calm down.
So,
definitely a coping mechanism, definitely addictive. And we've got to try and break that, even that balance of that hand mechanism movement of picking up a vape or picking up a cigarette or rolling a Rizzler or doing something like that that you think is okay. Even putting these pouches and nicotine pouches in your gums and sucking on those. These things are dangerous. They've got consequences, and it's a big problem. Something that was made essentially to actually help people wean off smoking is actually made it worse because it's actually going to make them more dependent on smoking, and eventually they get tolerant to it, and they go to other substances. And it's not always smoking. It can be other illicit or illegal or drugs that can cause major harm to them.
And I think it's just that understanding. You hit on such a good point that taking something chemical to change how I feel. At the end of the day, that can open a gateway to hell. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you know as well as I do, young people, they're growing, they're adolescent, their brains are still developing. Why not work on the endorphins from a sports point of view, from a stimulation point of view, take away these other things?
And it's really, really important to do sports, and I hope the schools hear this as well. You know, we need to re-emphasize sports, the value of that. You know, run 400 meters and see the value of your lungs.
Yeah,
do 8 100-meter sprints and see the value of your lungs.
Walk up a flight of stairs with your school bag and see what your lungs do.
Yes, absolutely. We have a question here. If I vape but don't inhale into my lungs, is that okay? And that's from Mark.
So what do you think you're doing if you're vaping? You actually have to, in order to breathe, you have to inhale. So that vape is sitting in the air and is going into your lungs, whether you inhale or not. It's like people who say, I don't inhale a cigar. The cigar goes in through your nasal passages. Your whole nasal airway is actually attached to your mucosa, and it's attached to the whole airway. So as you inhale through your nose, you inhale the air, it goes into your lungs, goes into your alveoli, the small little trees at the bottom of your lungs. You are definitely inhaling, even if you believe factitiously that you're not inhaling these harmful substances.
Then I think, and that's such a valid point. And just for the record, I'm a cigar smoker. I probably smoke between 8 and 12 a year.
Right.
And I love it, but I know often there's a reason I have to eat before because the nicotine's getting into my system. Even if I think I'm not inhaling, I'm inhaling.
And even so, even going through your nasal passages, it's an irritant.
Yeah.
It's these things also, whether you do it once or twice or three times, you still are predisposing yourself to carcinogens on your lips, to cancer, to these type of things. So just because you don't inhale, don't be fooled.
Yeah, that's it. And these are very, very harsh chemicals. And I think let's look at sort of what is the breakdown with most of the vapes. So what are we breathing in, and what's the mechanism of the vape?
So despite the actual vape juice that you're breathing in, you're breathing in things like arsenic, chromic, formaldehyde, lead, nickel, all these harmful things, plus the nicotine, which itself is the most dangerous because of the stimulation of the brain and the actual dependence on it, as well as all these other substances, even the actual flavors of the vapes, whether it's be mint or peppermint, whether it's butterscotch or butter that can cause these popcorn lungs, and then all the other things that people are adding, like the tetrahydrocannabinol to the vitamin C acetate, which helps enhance their vape and make it break down better, these things are causing major damage to your lungs. I mean, you can basically go into a chemical store, buy yourself some weed killer, heat it and inhale it. It's doing the same thing.
Sure. Wow. Let's talk about some of the things that are happening within the body, within the lungs, to vapors. What are we seeing?
So we're definitely seeing a respiratory component of disease. It actually starts at the area of the sinuses. And if we take it even prior to that, just from the skin, irritation of the skin, okay? And there's definitely passive vaping as well. We don't have the studies out in that yet because these things take a while to come out, but it irritates the skin, irritates the mucosa of the eyes, causes red eyes, causes runny nose, causes nasal congestion. Going further down the respiratory system, you're inhaling a toxic gas, something that shouldn't be there. So when you inhale the substance, it condenses and sits on your lungs and then causes a reaction in your body. So it's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's causing an abnormal stimulation of the receptors. It's burning what we call the cilia, which are the hairs going down the respiratory airways, which you need to transport mucus out. So people find they've got lots more mucus production. They've got lots more times where they actually start coughing for no reason. And it decreases their effort tolerance. So it can affect the heart, it affects the lungs, and especially it affects your endothelial system. Now, the endothelial system is the lining of your vessels in your body, your blood vessels. And this is particularly pertinent with athletes. So young people who are doing sports or who are trying to be competitive, we've found that their sports enhancement and their sports abilities have decreased. And even more so, on a personal level, what I'm seeing in my rooms of young people who are vaping, who are coming, presenting with asthma, it's unfound. It's untold. I can't believe the amount of young people that are now presenting with respiratory disease who've only been vaping for a few months. So, you know, whether or not this thing is dependent on how long or how quick, we don't know yet. But we do know that it's causing major damage.
Sure. And I think this is the real concern, is the unknown.
Yeah, and that's
and that long term.
You know, when we go back to smoking of cigarettes, you know, for the first few years, you know, the Surgeon General promoted smoking of cigarettes because it cured asthma,
nine
cured
out of 10 all these, you know, smoke. Yeah, X brand.
They used to sell cigarettes in the actual wards to patients. Okay. Take it 15, 20 years where they actually start doing studies on, and then the Surgeon General starts saying, oh, hold on, these things can cause cancer. So if we fast forward this whole thing in the next 5 to 10 years. Who knows how many studies we're going to see. And also what we are seeing is that people who are trying to, elderly people over the age of 50, when I say elderly, over the age of 50, who are trying to stop smoking and are vaping, have got a higher predisposition to developing lung cancer.
Sure, that's, yeah. So we're going to go and pay the rent. When we come back, I want to look at the ages that we're seeing. You know, when vaping started, is that getting younger and younger because it's becoming so acceptable?
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's just gone 9:21. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with Dr. Anton Myberg, specialist physician, pulmonologist, and guest. Howard tried to steal onto his show.
Howard who?
Yeah, Howard Feldman, the guest chapa.
Doesn't ring a
bell. Who has better glasses, we were saying?
No doubt you win this
thank
competition.
Thank you, thank you. There we
it's
go.
Time for him to up his game.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a chat to him after the show.
Yeah.
Right, so, Doc, we're chatting vaping. I also want to get onto this thing called chuffing. And if you have questions for our guest, and please do reach out. And perhaps the reason people aren't messaging because they know what they're doing is wrong. Yeah. So there's a little bit of Jewish guilt out there too, our listener base. 061-895-1019, an incredible opportunity to ask Dr. Myberg directly about vaping. Are we seeing younger and younger kids starting to vape?
We definitely are. And actually, there was a study put out by Lancet, an e-clinical medicine journal, where they took 25,000 school-going kids in South Africa across 52 fee-paying schools. Sure. And they found that there's about 29% of these students are vaping. 29% of your grade 12 students are vaping, whether it's due to pressure, anxiety, stress, peer pressure, etc. And as low as 10% in a grade 8 student, so that's a standard 6 child, a grade 8 student, as well as when they're seeing their siblings smoking or vaping, younger kids are trying this. So we're definitely seeing an increase in the numbers, we're definitely seeing an increase in the age from lower ages, whereas 5 years ago it was more likely the 17, 18-year-olds. We're now seeing it for from the 12-year-olds. So don't be under any illusions that my kid's not vaping. Your kid definitely could be vaping, and it's so easy to hide. You put it in your pocket, it looks like a USB flash, or it looks like a little just container. They can hide it very easily. A lot of them are odorless, so it's very easy to hide. And you've got to have a good relationship with your child to explain to them that this is a dangerous thing and they shouldn't be doing it. Parents themselves are damaging the children by allowing this.
And I think if we look at the parents who are now smoking, and, you know, we've been through such an incredibly challenging time with the pandemic, with all of the stress, with being locked away, kids that are now sort of getting to the age of 12, 13, 14, had that lack of interaction and coping skills. But we don't develop coping skills. We don't develop the ability to deal with tough situations by medicating ourselves.
Right. We actually got to go through the consequences of certain actions in life to understand how to cope and how to deal. Yeah. And take an easy way out by just taking a vape and inhaling it. That doesn't solve problems. That creates long-term consequences.
Yeah. If we were going to irreversible potentially long-term consequences. Now you're married, you got kids, you want to have grandkids, and you're seeing people
since you mentioned that, there is studies showing that it does affect fertility in males as well.
Wow, can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into that.
So basically what the studies are showing is it decreases the sperm production in males and creates sperm that is not functional in males. So that's a big problem going forward, because if you're trying to conceive, you know, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You need to have two parties that are able to work on both sides. And if you're vaping and destroying your spermatozoa, then you've got a bit of a problem because your swimmers aren't working.
Imagine being... having a life where you could have potentially had kids and not being able
also,
to.
Also, you know, life's difficult enough as it is. You know, females are struggling more than they used to struggle, whether it's through this polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, which is the new name for PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, whether it's due to stress, whether it's due to eating disorders. There's a lot more of a challenge on females just per se to fall pregnant. Now you take a male who has got more problems because they are vaping, you're adding two people to the mix. Instead of one, which you can easily work with, now you've got two, and one potentially like the male you can't work with.
Sure. And once, and when it's done, it's done. It's over.
You don't want to have to make sure that you go through fertility processes for every couple.
Yeah, that, absolutely. If we speak to the parents, and I think in your experience, parents who vape, how difficult is that, or is it impossible nearly, to get the children to stop vaping?
So I actually have done quite a few talks at the schools for kids with vaping. And it's a very big issue, because the children do want to stop vaping, but they don't have the mechanisms, or they don't have the plans of action how to do this, and they don't have the support. So we try and get the schools to support them. We try and get the social workers there to help them. It's not an easy thing, because a lot of the times these kids think that the vaping helps with their anxiety and their stress. What they don't realize is the more they vape, the more their receptors in their brain need the extra nicotine to produce more dopamine, which is the pleasure hormone, to actually create a better environment for them.
Sure.
So they actually become dependent on this. Otherwise, they become more anxious because they don't have that dopamine hit. So it actually works in reverse. So,
Doc, I actually want to go into that, because this ties into a question we've just gotten. Dr. Myberg, when a teenager describes that vaping helps his anxiety and calm him down, is there validity in that? Then another question, does the nicotine not make you more anxious? And and following up on this question, what can they do instead of smoking and vaping? Oh boy,
that's a good question. It does. So if when a child takes their first hit of nicotine, it releases dopamine in the brain, the pleasure hormone, and it does allow them to relax and does decrease the anxiety. But from the next hit going onwards, they start becoming dependent on it and they start needing it. So they get more anxious, because that same amount of nicotine doesn't create the so-called hit or the dopamine release for them, and they need more. As you rightly said, any addict knows that you get to a certain ceiling and then you need to change habits, because you need to increase the pleasure that you receive.
I think the heroin addicts call it chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
And you never hit that.
You never hit that thing until the dragon breathes that fire onto you, and then it's too late.
And it's too late.
So with regards to stopping or to replacing that, as I always say, there are healthy endorphins, you know. Take your kids for a walk around the park at night time, or take them, you know, let them run on the treadmill while you're watching TV with them, or let them do some sport or some activity to get vent that frustration. You know, sports is such a healthy thing. We don't all need to be sports stars, but we do need to exercise. We do need to get those adrenaline fight and flight receptors moving in a different way so we can pleasure ourselves. And there's many ways to get a dopamine release in your body, whether it's through music, whether it's through cinema, you don't have to always be sedentary with it, but you've got to include certain things, and you've got to make these family sort of involvement things so that everyone can benefit from them.
That's such a great point. I think we're almost looking at vaping as a indicator of an unhealthy lifestyle within the family.
Right.
So if you have the parents out in the park with the kids playing touch, kicking a ball on Shabbos after lunch, you know, playing, going to gym with your kids, you know, grandparents going to gym with their kids and doing fun stuff. If we're getting out and having fun, maybe the parents taking more responsibility for a healthier life, that's going to translate to the kids. One of the things that we're fortunate to do is we have a program where we work with certain rabbonim, and we send coaches to their houses to train. The thing that gives me the biggest nachas is that the kids are now getting involved. The spouse is now getting involved.
That's exactly what you want.
And on top of that, it's 45 minutes of time together without phones, 100%. Without screens.
But that's the whole thing with the Shabbos. When you without a phone, without a screen, it's very interesting. These people say that they can't do without it, yet for 24 hours on Shabbos, they can do without it. Yeah. So it's a mindset. It's a convenience. It's an addiction. It's a need to move that hand to the mouth. Mm. And we don't have to replace it with food. There's other ways to do this. There's other ways to get those hands busy so that you don't have to feel that consequence of not being able to put something in your mouth.
There's a kettlebell swings, pull-ups,
kettlebell swings, barbell arm press. Stress,
yeah, there is.
Exercise resistance, you know, 100%.
Push-ups.
There you go.
Or a 20-minute plank.
The 20-minute plank is a great idea. I don't know if they'll be able to exhale after that. But
it'll show you the value, the value of your lungs.
Yeah.
I want to touch on the... And I'm going to say this, and I take personal responsibility for it: the myth that cigarettes are better than vaping is better than cigarettes.
Yeah, I love that, because that's exactly what it is. It's a proper myth, and I use the explanation is, if you're driving down the highway and you get knocked over by a car, or if you're driving down the highway and you get knocked over by a high-speed motorbike, you're still going to get hurt. You're still going to get fatally hurt. There's potential. It's like jumping off a building that's 22 stories or jumping off a building that's 28 stories. There's still major disease consequences from these actions. So smoking or vaping, neither are better. They're both bad for you. Let's call a spade a spade. Why do we have to compare apples with pears? You don't have to. They are both bad for you. Just because one is perceived as being bad doesn't mean you've got to do it. It's still bad for you.
And you know, I don't like to bring harshness into our conversations on the show. We like to keep it light and informative, but at the end of the day, as someone who feels as strongly about this as I think we both do, it's like, are you going to abuse your child physically or mentally? Which do you prefer?
Right.
And that really is what this comes down to.
You know, we always say you need a license for a TV, but you don't need a license for children.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we all make mistakes as parents. We all grow. We all learn. We've all got things to do. But we need to understand that we need to teach our children that doing something like this is harmful. And if we as parents aren't showing them that, we're on a road for major destruction.
Major destruction. I think just to jump into a few more questions, and we are chatting with Dr. Anton Myberg, specialist physician and pulmonologist. We're talking vaping, and we're going to get on to chuffing as well. Let us have your questions for our guest on 061-895-1019. This is the Disco Medical Monday show. We have a good morning. Besides a stress thing, smoking and vaping can be an ego thing, and that's from Renee in Israel. So is it ego or really fitting into a community?
I think it's both. It's ego and peer pressure at the same time, because the kids are being pressured, saying, you look so cool, you know, smoking is bad for you, but look how cool you look with this yellow vaping enhancement on your body. Or, you know, as we say, we always go to these vaping shops and we see these cool kids behind the stores there. It's yellow or green or beautiful like illumination behind the screens, and all these healthy people are showing how good it is for you. But it's peer pressure is a major, major problem here of the kid saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's not going to do you any harm. And then the kid who doesn't vape is seen to be more like a bit of a loser, and they don't know where to put themselves.
Yeah.
And that comes from a school point of view as well, where the school has got to enforce that and educate the children through programs. And once again, it comes from home.
And coming from home, that's it. In order to give up, one has to have an incredible amount of willpower. I gave up smoking after 30 years of smoking cold turkey, have never smoked again. And that's from Renee. I think something I'd like to touch on with the willpower as an alcoholic, it's not willpower, it's education, it's information, and it's consequences that get us to move. I think smoking for 30 years, you know, there are consequences that you start to see and realize you're almost running out of the fun time. I don't think we should be looking at it as a weakness of willpower. It's potentially a lack of understanding and support in helping them stop. Doc, your 100%. Thoughts?
And that's also why, like, it's a very, very small cohort of people that can use that, in inverted commas, willpower to actually stop smoking, to go cold turkey, or to stop an addictive personality. There's many people who cannot do that, and they need to go through a program. And that's why there are programs with smoking. There's Alan Carr, there's hypnotherapy. There's all different ways to do it. But interesting enough, and I'm talking about more for kids, older kids, even over the age of 18, and we're talking about addiction. You look at the GLP-1 receptors now and these new drugs, they actually help with addictive personalities because they work on your reward sensation in the brain, and it actually helps decrease the incidence of nail biting, of alcohol, of tobacco, of eating. So there's a whole addictive personality that's being changed by these type of things. So that's not to say that every child over 18 that vapes must go into GLP-1.
Yeah.
It's for the right person, for the right metabolic profile. Different story, but we do know that there are ways to help with these type of things pharmacologically as well as psychosocially.
100%. And something that Renee finished off with was she said she believes that craving lasts for 60 seconds. And I think if I can just add to that as an addict, I've had craving last for weeks, months, and years, whether it's or 60 seconds, where you know it's like a wave. You just have to wait for it to finish. But it's not so much the craving, it's the inability to cope with what we are experiencing. So I'm what Emirates Airlines calls a DPNA. Disabled person needs assistance, because with my anxiety, which is through the roof, and not being able to drink, airline travel and the overwhelming check-in process and boarding process is terrifying. So I'm able to go through the check-in on my own, get onto the plane before anyone's even boarded, and that's life-changing.
So if you were born like 15 years earlier, you would have had your own guard dog.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's the understanding of these processes. It's not a weakness of character.
No.
It's not a weakness of will. It's not even a weakness of desire. But I think it's got to be an understanding of consequences. But yet, in addiction, we have beautiful, amazing, intelligent people who die because of their addiction, because they're unable to make
that
switch.
It's not that there's something wrong with you. It's the same with obesity, which used to be think there was something wrong with you. Here you've got a chronic disease, now recognized as a chronic disease. I mean, if you look at the DSM criteria in psychiatry, alcoholism and addiction and OCD, they're all part of these criteria. So it's something that needs to be channeled and worked with a whole structured approach.
Yeah, absolutely. There's tremendous safety within that structure. Yeah. We have a comment from Bernadetta. Hi, the core problem adults and children have is stress, anxiety, depression. People need the bad feeling to go away. I think that's putting it very simply, and it's 100% right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't exist in that bad feeling. How do we talk to parents about getting them to stop?
So I think we've got to show them the consequences of what they do. You know, show them what it looks like when your child's in ICU.
Sure.
Show them as a parent what it does to you, what the actual vaping is doing to you, and compare it to smoking. They're equally as bad. The lung disease that is developing from vaping, the destruction of those small little alveoli, those small trees in the lung, the inhalation of carbon dioxide. I mean, I think we can also speak about this new trend of chuffing, when we can speak about that as well. You know, there's certain things that people are doing that may seem innocuous, but when you look at all the pathophysiology, and that's all the destruction that you're doing to your inherent insides that you can't see, we need to keep on educating parents to show them that you are doing something that is damaging not only your life, but your children's life, and you're decreasing your own longevity, which is a major thing. So even smoking and even vaping now, we're seeing people, these funny lines on their faces, you know, that they get elderly, you get a 50-year-old that looks like a 75-year-old who's now vaping. It's not only from the smoking that does the type of thing. So it decreases the collagen, the elastin. It decreases your smell. You actually smell. We used to get those nicotine fingers in smokers. You now get a funny smell on these people who are using these flavored vapes. Obviously we get the ones who are trying to hide with the odorless one, but we get these funny smells. And then of course there's the other problem, is these vapes can explode. So you get chemical injuries. You can burn your lips. You can burn your face. There's so many different things that can happen because of that.
Wow. So when we come back from paying the rent, it's my new thing that I'm saying now on the show, we're going to chat with Dr. Anton Meiberg about chuffing. I'm interested to hear what this is. Immediately start thinking about Tippex sniffing back in my day.
What about Prit?
Or Prit, yeah, that's it.
Back in my day.
Yeah, 100%.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
We're chatting with Dr. Anton Meiberg here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. It's 9:41. My name is Nicholas Ingall. And Doc, we are going to chat about chuffing. What is chuffing?
So chuffing or chuffing, depends how you pronounce it. Chuffing. I pronounce it chuffing. Actually in Britain, it's a slang word. It's used for saying it's chuffing cold, which means it's bloody cold, which is actually a nice way to describe chuffing. It's bloody. It does damage. So what is chuffing in Britain? Chuffing is described as inhaling very deeply when you're either smoking or vaping, and continuously vaping or continuously smoking. So actually chronically doing it. So just taking your cigarette and changing one cigarette to the next, you're chuffing all the time. And it's compared to a steam roller or steam train where you chuff, 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 chuff. That's the comparison. In South Africa, bless us for our inadequacies, chuffing is actually related to fire extinguishers. And for some reason, our youth in South Africa think that inhaling the dry chemicals from a fire extinguisher and getting exposed to carbon dioxide gives them a high, but for lack of better words, these idiots don't realize actually that they can kill themselves within a matter of minutes from inhaling these chemicals from these fire extinguishers. I don't know how the trend started, but it's all over TikTok. It's a very South African thing at the moment. Shows our...
I suppose it also maybe just shows the desperation.
As you were saying, Craig, it used to be Tippex in your day, and my day used to be Prit, and then it was glue that they'd inhale, that type of thing. Now you can just go anywhere, find a fire extinguisher, and actually inhale the chemicals from that.
Which is, and not only that, but you're depleting a fire extinguisher, which may well be needed and vitally important. For me, the thing with the glue sniffing was made very traumatic by reading the secret diaries of Adrian Moll.
I remember that.
He was building a model aircraft.
Now we're giving away our age.
Absolutely. Got that stuck in his nose. So it's something not. With this trend, I mean, are we seeing it across all social levels?
So it's generally the older kids, at grade 11, grade 12, and early teens and teens from 18 to 20s that are doing these type of things.
Sure.
And at the moment, it's not only a socioeconomic thing. It's any school, it's any age, it's any predisponence to any need to do these things. It's a proper addictive thing, and it's a trend, and it's peer pressure. And they definitely do get a high from it, but the problem is this can kill you. If you're inhaling carbon dioxide, it can cause you to go unconscious, it can cause seizures, it can cause chemical irritation in the lungs, it can cause what we call a pneumonitis, which is a pneumonia-type picture in your lungs, and cause sudden death.
Are we seeing an element here of social pressure as well to do it?
Definitely. As I say, you know, you get all these trends on Instagram, TikTok, all these things where you get the water challenge, you get this challenge, and this was the latest one. This started around March, February this year, where this came out as the newest and greatest thing on TikTok, and I mean, it's so idiotic.
I think it's where you can try it once and lose your life.
You can try it once and lose your life, exactly. I mean, not only that, but I mean, these academics can actually even drop the fire extinguisher on their own heads or, you know.
And again, you're depleting a fire extinguisher, which is something really crazy. I mean, you wouldn't drink water from a fire hose.
Desperately, you would hope not.
To go and do these type of things. Do you think, is this indicative of, in your sense, of the stress that society's under,
Definitely.
Or the and the prevalence perhaps of what's available on social media as, hey, this could be a way out from what I'm feeling.
Definitely. I mean, if you think about now, we're now going into June. And once again, even from January this year, we thought, is it November already?
Yeah.
So we are living such high impact lives. We're under so much pressure, so much stress. We're all attached to our cell phones. We all are so time driven and time bound. We're all under these pressures. You have to achieve, you have to make money, you have to have a family, you have to do this. Everyone's got to tick this box, which never used to be okay. If you're 21 years old and you aren't married, well, then you're on the shelf. You know, if you're 23 years old and you don't have twins yet, well, you're on the shelf. There are so many different facets of what our youth are going through. I mean, we always say, like, thank God we didn't have cell phones when we were growing up, because life was so much easier. You know, you could get away with a lot more naughty things.
Yes.
But good naughty things.
Good naughty
things. Nowadays, you do something, you caught on social media, you scroll for the rest of your life.
That's it. And also, in addition to that, and with all due respect, you are only exposed to the idiots in your neighborhood.
100%. And you might be the biggest village idiot yourself.
Yeah, you might. If you were the biggest, it was a lot safer than picking up trends that are,
you know, riding on your BMX and going out at nighttime was far more prevalent than preferable to doing what we're doing now.
Yeah, we have a wonderful story of a friend of ours who tried to run away from home, but only circled around the Camp Space soccer field block because they weren't allowed to ride their bike over the road.
And they didn't have ways.
They didn't go, and they didn't have ways, exactly. So I think if we look at a way to start to slow this down, to start to stop this, do you think it starts with the parents?
Yes, I do. It starts with the parents, starts with the education. When I give my talks at schools, I always ask the principals who contact me to bring the parents in at the same time for the talks. So not only can the kids hear it, but the parents can hear it. And I find the parents do engage because they don't understand and they don't appreciate that there is a danger to vaping. And it's a social misconception that vaping doesn't do damage. And as I say, when you see your parents vaping, well, that's okay. You know, even young kids in our generation who used to smoke, used to see their parents smoke, and they say, well, if not, why not, you know?
That's it. I mean, that's where you get your first couple of cigarettes from.
And the problem with the vaping is also these kids are ordering it on Takealot or on all these things, so they're getting delivered without the parents knowing. Parents need to have a control system where they actually know what their kids are spending or what they're spending money on. We can't be policemen, we can't be wardens, but we've got to have an understanding that if you've given your kid a credit card, it's coming off your account. See what they're spending money on.
Yeah, and check the apps.
Yeah.
You know, check the order history as to what's
day, our parents used to check the phone bill, you know, and highlight which numbers you had phoned, you know.
And you had to explain while it was over 3 minutes.
Exactly.
And it was the only phone in the house. I think if you were to say to parents now, sort of one or two messages, what would that be? Because we also don't want to be doomsayers where, right, once you start, you can't stop. And if you start, it's over. You know, even for parents that, like, you know, spend, just live your life in order to spend quality time with your grandchildren. You know, so from your side, what would you say to them?
So even say with smoking, it's never too late to stop. You know, people think if you've got emphysema, you can't stop. You can stop because there are benefits to stopping these things because you delay the progression of a disease. So now you take something like a vaping. If your kids started vaping in the last year or two, get them to stop, because there's definitely an element of reversibility. Not every child will develop a severe disease from this. They can develop inflammatory consequences that are potentially reversible. Some people, obviously we know, do get irreversible disease. But work as a unit with your children. Work as a family. Be there to discuss with them and to show them that it's okay to make mistakes in life. But when you make mistakes in life, we are there to pick you up and support you. We are there to help you. And when I speak at schools, I tell the teachers that let you be a safe space for your kids. You know, let them come to you and say, I am vaping. Here's my vape. Take it in. You can't have teachers at the school who are vaping in the staff room, kids walking by and saying, but what about them? Lead by example. Show that you can understand why we are not doing what we are doing. No one's perfect. Everyone does do wrong things in life, but when you understand that those wrong things cause dramatic harm and can damage your life going forwards, take a step back and think to yourself, what am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing? And do I want my kids to carry this on into their later life and expose my potential grandchildren to it? So very, very wise words, Doc. Thank you.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And this has been one of the most valuable shows I think we've put out there, because many of the guests that I speak to, we touch on disease, we touch on things that are out of our control. We're exposed to so many toxins in the world, in our food, in our water, in our air, in studio. Sorry, Craig. And also a big thank you to our main man on the buttons, Craig, for keeping the show running. I always forget to thank him. So thank you, Craig. And Doc, just as we wrap up, what advice would you like to give our listeners? Let's limit the toxins that we're bringing
100%.
In.
100%. And I think you got to build a connection with your kids when you discuss it. So don't say to them, are you vaping? Say to them, I've seen you've been vaping. Let's chat about it. Let's try and understand why you've been vaping. Let's set a quit date. Let's make a time when we can do it. Just as you know, an alcoholic, remove all the substance from the house that can actually sort of push them to try and do this. So remove all the pods, all the vaping paraphernalia, all the vaping juices from the house, and actually work together with them and help them manage their cravings and their withdrawals around it. There's always going to be cravings. There's always going to be withdrawals. And ask them to come to you when they're feeling like agitated or stressed, anxious, and work with them to help them, whether you need a psychologist involved, whether you need a social worker, whether you need to just work as a family and take family time out together and work through it. Don't be judgmental and just actually be a support.
And I think and build something to fill that hole with.
Yeah, agreed.
That's the thing, that void that's created when we give up an addiction. We have to fill it with something. We have to fill it with something healthy. Doc, really fantastic, fantastic words to end on. That's Dr. Anton Myberg, specialist physician and pulmonologist, touching on vaping and chuffing. And our health is such a wonderful gift. It's a true brocha, because it affects our quality of life more than anything else. And we need to do everything that we can to protect it and to fight for it. If you're struggling with your mental health and you're using substances like vaping, find something to replace it. Because as a 19-year sober alcoholic, I can tell you life on the other side is much better. Thank you so much for joining us today here on 101.9 Chai FM. Dr. Myberg, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming into studio. Thank you to our amazing, beautiful, wonderful listening community. And I will chat with you next week.